Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, October 19th, 2023. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adioye Jr. Joining me is LaCroix Poppy himself, a.k.a. the freshest man in the business, Tim Motherfucking Geddes.
Plus, I had to look this fresh today for a very specific reason. Of course, I'm wearing my Spider-Man world premiere outfit that I've worn to the Across the Spider-Verse premiere that I went to. But now I'm wearing it because right after this episode of Games Daily, at this table, Brian Intihar from Insomniac is going to join us for the Spider-Man 2 spoiler cast that we're going to be recording that will publish next Friday.
Yeah.
Next Friday, October 27th at 8 a.m. Everybody will be able to listen to that. They have all week to play this game and then join us for our spoiler cast. Really exciting stuff.
See, I thought you were wearing it for Mario because we're on the eve of Mario.
We are. It's Mario Eve. Yeah, got to respect that too.
Rock the red
pin,
for that.
The spider pin, though. It's a dead giveaway.
It's such a fresh outfit. I love this. And also, like, now I'm like,
oh, and of course,
I need to know. Now I just got to assume that Tim Geddes is going to dress fresh for whatever, like, a big occasion.
You got to do it.
We've done this multiple times. Yeah. We're now like, oh, we got a big reaction. We got a big interview. We got a big spoiler cast. I'm going to come with my Sunday best.
Got to do it.
And now I got to start thinking ahead. Even though I kind of like, you know, like you and Greg will dress up and then I get to dress down. But then like all random days, I'll dress up.
We should all just do whatever we want. Just feel good. You know what I mean? Yeah. Feel good at all times. That's the rules, everybody.
A lot of people are going to feel good tomorrow.
Yes, they are.
Two good games
tonight, even.
Yeah, tonight. I was just telling you right before the show that I am so excited for Mario.
Yeah.
Like, I'm antsy for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's rare nowadays, I guess, because we play everything that comes out in a year, that I get, like, antsy for a video game where I'm like, I need this now.
Well, that's the thing, too, for you, is, like, it's the rare thing at Kinda Funny that, because it's Nintendo, where we normally get one code, me and you right now have a reverse Zelda situation.
Oh,
where
yeah.
You got Tears of the Kingdom. I had to wait and play when everyone else did, which was weird because that normally doesn't happen, especially for Nintendo games. Usually they go to me.
Mm-hmm.
So for Zelda, it was like, that was a weird feeling for me. Now you had to get that with Mario.
Yeah.
Because you pretty much have played every game pre-release this year.
Yeah, like it's been a very rare occasion where I'm playing games at the same time this year, especially as everybody else. Like what the ones I can think of would be like Tren, the Media Molecule game that me and five other people played, and then like what, maybe Viewfinder? No, I played Viewfinder before review.
Yeah,
I reviewed that.
I think this might be the first one. And dude, trust me, it's a great one for it to be. You're gonna have a blast tonight. God, everyone's gonna live.
Everybody's gonna have such a good time. We're gonna also have a blast talking about video game news because today's stories include Nintendo delisting the original Switch trailer, PS5 Slim's release date possibly leaked, and more because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and a week at 10 a.m. live right here on youtube.com/kindafunnygames and twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code Kinda Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, head to kindafunny.com/KFGD to write in with your questions, squad ups, and more. And remember, patreon.com/kindafunny will get you the show ad-free, plus a bevy of bonus content. Housekeeping for you, a new Kinda Funny X-Cast is up right now featuring the one and only Jules Hardy. The crew talks about the acquisition finally being done. You can catch that over on youtube.com/kindafunnygames. And then remember, we're throwing a meet and greet fundraiser for Extra Life. Well, actually, Square Pie Guys is throwing us a meet and greet fundraiser for Extra Life. Come hang with Kinda Funny on Wednesday, October 25th. We'll be celebrating the launch of the Kinda Funny Pizza, a buffalo chicken pie, and raising money for the big, beautiful kids. All proceeds from the tickets go to our Extra Life fundraising. You'll be entered to win fabulous prizes, and you get to hang out with us. Get your ticket. Yes, this is a ticketed event at kindafunny.com/SPG party. That is kindoffunny.com/SPGparty. Tim, what you got for me?
Whole bunch of other stuff. Today is Spider-Man Day. Spider-Man Eve, depending on how you want to talk about it. A lot of spider stuff.
Spider-Man!
Oh my God, what character is this?
This is the Spider-Man.
Short Spider-Man, everybody. Like, we got shirtless Spider-Man, now we got short Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, I'm here, baby.
This is the Spider-Man where, like, if we're walking down the sidewalk and I see you on my side, I'm crossing the street. This Spider-Man might rob me.
What do you got going on, Mike?
Don't worry, Blessing!
Don't worry about him, Blessing!
Shirtless Spider-Man will protect you from this imposter.
Who's that guy? No. I'm the real Spider-Man, Blessing. Don't you worry about that.
Clearly, he's a villain, all right? You ever seen someone dressed like this that's a good guy? No. This is what true PlayStation superheroes look like, all right? Do you think for a second this guy's got the athleticism of shirtless Spider-Man?
Oh, God,
Show it to him.
You think he could do this? He couldn't do this in his wildest dreams.
Oh, God.
Tim, give me 19 inches of venom, Tim. I'll take him on right now. Get out of here.
Spider-Man's here.
Spider-Verse.
All right, yeah, we had a Spider-Man stream going. Oh, Lord.
Oh, God. Hope I see shirtless Miles Morales later, if you know.
Why?
Did shirtless Spider-Man just look at you and said, "Yell, get out of here"?
Like, and I almost got up and walked away.
All right,
and I remember that I'm on the show. I'm the host on the show. I'm the host.
So there's gonna be a lot of shenanigans like that happening today. We're doing so we're recording the spoiler cast that won't be live, but will be live is the boys, the Jabroni boys, starting up some Spider-Man. We're streaming all day. They have a crazy day plan of shenanigans and dumb things that Mike or short Spider-Man, whoever that is, has planned. short Spider-Man.
It's crime Spider-Man. That's crime committing Spider-Man.
It is something, man. But also what's live right now on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames is our first hour edit of Spider-Man 2. So that is it is me, Janet, Andy, and
Greg.
Roger did an amazing job editing it all together. It's all of our first experiences cut together, so it'll be a very enjoyable watch. You get to see our genuine reactions to the very first time we played the game. So just the first hour, not too much, but it might whet your appetite for tonight. Or if you want to wait, play yourself tonight, and then watch our video tomorrow, because I think you'll have a lot of fun watching us react to this stuff.
Heck yeah, and as we're talking about, right, like both Spider-Man and Mario are out tomorrow, and so look forward to a lot of spider shenanigans and Mario mayhem going down for probably the next week. Of course, right here on YouTube, right here on Twitch, and then also over on TikTok and all the other platforms you can find kind of funny content. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Jedi Master Deadpool and Delaney Twining. Tim, I'll even tell you right now.
Yeah.
Well, the S-word list show that we did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't look down and see what was next. The S-word list.
Uh-huh.
Top 10 Spider-Man games.
Ooh.
As ranked by IGN. They just put up a Spider-Man game list this last week. And that's what we're doing for that show on
Patreon. That's going to be a very interesting list, because there's no way they're doing it per franchise. So like we know our top three. Boom.
Yeah.
Unless they want to get spicy.
I mean, I know our top four, right? Like, yeah. I feel like 5 through 10, because I'm including Spider-Man 2 for PS2 in there.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd imagine, right?
Yeah.
This is a different. Then we're doing it.
Spider-Man 1, Spider-Man 2, then the Insomniac ones, Miles Morales, and Spider-Man 2, PS2. Those are the four. And then 5 through 10.
I mean, I'm going to say it right now. I'm pretty sure the order will be Spider-Man 2, Miles Morales, Spider-Man 1.
Mm, see, if I'm making this list, I'm getting spicy.
Yeah.
I'm going Spider-Man 2, you know what I mean? And then Spider-Man 1. I'm getting crazy.
I love it.
I'm getting crazy.
That will be a shit list on patreon.com/kindoffunny eventually.
Yeah, he said the word. Not what's up, Kevin?
I was going to say, do you guys think that Ultimate Spider-Man makes it on there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think
Neversoft's Spider-Man gets on there.
Yeah.
Now we're just doing the show.
I know. Like,
all right.
You know, crazy to go with it. Do we get Web of Shadows? Is that the one that Greg Miller didn't like, or is it Edge of Time?
Maybe.
Yeah.
10's a lot.
They might get crazy and put X-Men Destiny on there. You know?
I don't know if they're going to do that.
They kind of get crazy just because. Put not Marvel's Capcom, even though you could theoretically put that on there. Ultimate Alliance.
Avengers?
Yeah. No.
Yeah, you could put Avengers on there. Yeah.
No. Out of any game that has Spider-Man in it, the Avengers Spider-Man, I still think about it to this day of like how much of an abomination that was.
Yeah.
Like, we really let that slide. They really let that get past.
Yeah.
QA or whoever is the last line of defense. I don't
last
know.
Line of defense.
Yeah, they let that get past Lara Croft over there. Mm-hmm. Like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
Again, thank you to our Patreon producers, Jedi Master Deadpool and Delaney Twining. Today, we're brought to you by BetterHelp and Immersion Fragrances, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have five stories today.
A baker's dozen!
Starting with our number one. Tim, I want to take you on a trip to Speculation Station.
Speculation Station. Before we even get into this blast, this is one of my favorite types of Games Daily news stories, it's like, we already know the answer is not what we want it to be, but it's just like, fuck it. Let's just talk about it just so we can get back to the conversation we want to have.
Exactly, right? This is going to get us to a fun conversation. Listen, is it a slow news day? Yes.
I wonder why.
This is a slow news day that I'm very excited for because there is a lot of juicy and fun stuff to talk about. And so, story number one, I'm taking you to the Speculation Station. The original Switch reveal trailer has been removed from Nintendo's YouTube channel. This is Jim Norman at Nintendo Life. Get ready to put your detective hats on, folks, because there's a mystery afoot. The Nintendo Switch reveal trailer, you know, the one where groups of trendy people play the up-and-coming console at such memorable and realistic venues as a rooftop party or at a basketball court, has been removed from the official Nintendo YouTube channel. This was first brought to our attention by Reddit user Carbavan on r/gamingleaksandrumors, and sure enough, looking at the YouTube channel in question, the reveal trailer is nowhere to be found. Of course, the video remains available online through other outlets, the one posted by GameSpot, for example, so you can still find inspiration for which wacky and wonderful location you want to play your Switch at next. But the question still stands, why has it been removed from the initial source? The simple answer is that it has been removed due to a music licensing issue. The trailer's backing track, Ha 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 Yeah, by White Denim, is a song that, as Reddit user They Call Me Radic points out, appears to be in some legal trouble after the track's initial distributors were recently taken over by another company. Questions about the song's true ownership are usually reason enough for a video such as this to be taken down, and there's every chance that we have seen exactly that in this instance. But what if there's another reason? Carbvan's original post does point out that Nintendo has intentionally removed reveal trailers in the past to make way for another, perhaps connected announcement right around the corner. That's how they write it. We might be replacing our detective hats with ones more of the tinfoil variety, but could we be seeing something similar happening here? After all, rumors of the Switch 2 continue to circulate at a higher and higher density each week. Is the removal of the OG Switch reveal trailer a sign of things to come?
Is it, Bless? Let's welcome ourselves to Speculation Station.
Here's
the thing. The new story that you just read already kind of answers this and buttons it up. It is a licensing thing. It's not a thing of like, oh, it could be, it might be a licensing. We have confirmation. It's the freaking yeahs or whoever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
The white stripes, the denim jacket. What the fuck was it?
Ha 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 ha, yeah.
The white denim.
White denim.
I missed a lot of things there.
You got close. Yeah. I see how you get there.
The white stripes, white denim. Whatever.
What was that?
Oh, Speculation Station. Oh. Choo-choo, everybody. That's just one.
On our end, it sounded so realistic. Like, that didn't sound like it came from a speaker. For a split second, I was like, are we next to a train? Like, when did that happen? I don't think there's that many trains in San Francisco.
Oh, man. So anyway, that's the end of that, right? We can move on. But let's keep going. Yeah.
So, like, when do we get a Switch 2 announcement?
That's the thing, man. Like, look, it's funny because let's for a second pretend for no reason that we didn't know about the licensing thing and that wasn't the case. That Nintendo is taking this down because they have in the past, not often, but they have in the past taken things down and other groups have done this as well as they prepare for something new. I am immediately transported back to 2012, 2013, when this thing called the Wii U was first being talked about. When it was first shown, I was there at E3 when they first talked about the Wii U and I was at the Nintendo press conference. And when they announced it, all of us were like, is this the next console? Or is this just like a thing you add to the Wii? Like, what's going on? And then on the show floor of E3, they had a Wii U, like the physical version, just kind of in this glass box. And you're looking at it, you're like, it kind of just looks like a kind of like curvier Wii. Like, is it? How different is it? What's going on
is
here?
Is this a Wii Pro? Like, what's going on?
And they were so vague in that initial bit. Pretty quickly, people aren't fucking morons. the answers were out there, and it's like, all right, cool, I get what this is. But I do think that the Wii to Wii U, not even just in the bungling of like the original reveal of it, which the Switch nailed.
Yeah.
Also in the confusion of the titling to people of like what a Wii U is, I feel like that was a very bad system name. Mm-hmm. And then even going to the Switch, like, we all act like the Switch is a great name now. It's because it fucking earned it and it became a thing. Yeah. We all talk shit
about
it.
At first
we're
like, well, the Switch? All right. Like, what does that mean?
Yeah. It's like, you're not, you can't own the word Switch. It's already a fucking thing.
Yeah.
Nintendo now owns the word Switch. They got it. All it took is one snap. But I am very interested in what the next console is called.
See, that's the exact same route of thinking that I went down during this whole thing. Because, like, let's say for a second that this wasn't about the licensing thing, right? Like, the article, like, poses in set, and, like, I think that is the clear solution to this, right? Like, I don't think we have confirmation, but, you know, we have confirmation that there are licensing issues attached to that song, and that song is the main song in the trailer. So if A to B to C, that all connects, that makes sense. Let's say that, for whatever reason, oh, that's not the actual issue. Do you think that Nintendo would call the next Nintendo console a Switch 2 or a Super Switch or have Switch in the title, given the history with the Wii to the Wii U and how troublesome that was?
So here's what's very funny. Nintendo has proven there's no patterns. They march the beat of their own drum, their own bongos, if you will, their own Donkey Konga bongos, all right? I feel like it is the most likely that it's called the Switch 2. Which is weird, because that's Nintendo's never done that before. But I feel like with the success of the Switch and what they've created, this mainstream, like, massive success where they've gained the gamers back and the casuals back and everyone, it's kind of the best of every world of what they got with the success of the Wii, but then also what they had with the success of the NES, Super NES, right? Mm-hmm. So now I'm like, I don't, I feel like a Super Switch is getting a little too tongue-in-cheek, and, like, it's not the 90s anymore.
What if they, this would be insane. What if they just called it the Switch? Like, what if that is the reason why you go back and delist the original Switch reveal, is that you're getting ready for another Switch reveal and you're just calling it the Switch? It's the continuation of the Switch, but it is next gen at the same time.
Honestly, like, if I had to bet, and I'm not confident enough to actually be like, I think it's called the Switch 2. I think the most likely title right now is Switch 2. I think the second most likely title is Switch. Hmm. And I don't, like, there's pros and cons to all of that. And I'm with you, though, that I feel like Nintendo wants to keep the Switch title.
Yeah, the Switch branding is so strong. And it's the weird thing about Nintendo is that Nintendo's the only one that's gotten, like, kind of rid of their branding as they jump from generation to generation, right? Like, you know, Super Nintendo was strong. All right, for the next one, Nintendo 64. For the next one, GameCube. For the next one, Wii, right? And the only time they fail is when they did an iterative, like, type branding thing, right? Wii U, that confused the hell out of people. But for any other company, right? PlayStation 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that works so perfectly, right? Xbox 360, Xbox One. Like,
No. We are not going to give them credit.
But also, like, the issue with all those wasn't that people didn't know it was a new console, mm-hmm. right? Like, the issue with those weren't necessarily the branding. There's so many other issues with, like, Xbox jumping from generation to generation. Nintendo's found success whenever they have switched, no pun intended, switched things up. And, like, found a new branding that they can make catchy, that they can make a new staple. And that would almost, like, make me lean on the idea of, hey, weird Nintendo decisions, weird ass gaming company that we're dealing with here. What if the stronger move branding wise would be to what if the stronger move branding wise is to move away from the Switch and find a completely new name for it?
Yeah.
Even if it is the same gimmick. Because I expect the same gimmick.
Yeah, for sure. And I expect backwards compatibility. And what I mean by that is not, and I know there's been people up in a tizzy in the last week over leaks and rumors or whatever about it not being backwards compatible. But it's like, what they mean is literally the physical carts, potentially, where it might be a digital-only system or there might be multiple versions. But I feel like there is no chance in hell that the next Nintendo console does not play your digital library of games that you have on your Switch.
I hope so.
And with that, I think that they're going to continue to build off of that premise, and I think that it will still be in the same ecosystem. Going back to the Switch, I was pretty confident they were going to just call it the Nintendo, because this was the first time they were combining the 3DS and the console and handheld lines into, like, one product. But I also just think they weren't there at the time. And obviously they went with the Switch, which none of us could have predicted. That is a title that is just pulled out of nothing.
Yep.
But now it makes total sense. So with where they're at, I don't think that their next console will just be Nintendo. Like, I don't think that it makes sense to put the Switch Genie back in the bottle at this point. But I also don't see them coming up with something like completely brand new for this next console, whatever it is. So
realistically, like, my prediction for it would be, if we're dealing with the same gimmick of, hey, this is handheld and it's console, and like, that's the main thing of it, right? Like, the main innovations we're making to this thing are power and like the not DLSS, but like, you know, AI upsampling stuff. If that is where we're seeing the steps forward, is more so in the fidelity of it as opposed to the actual functionality of it, then I think you do switch to, or like find a Switch name that like still keeps it within the Switch brand, right? Because that works so well, and we understand what that means. Like, Switch has a meaning in the way that, like, you know, Wii's meaning, I guess, was like motion and all that stuff, right? And like GameCube's meaning was that it was a cube. Like, Switch has a meaning in that you switch from playing handheld into playing on your TV. And if that's still the base functionality, then I think you have to call it the Switch as Nintendo. That's my prediction. Unless they find something that is out of this world, that is, hey, here's the main bullet point we're promoting with this thing that makes it functionally different from what the Switch is, then they change the name.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's what we're going to get this next generation.
Yeah, you know, I'm talking myself in circles here, but I feel most likely Switch 2. Second most likely, just Switch. I do think third most likely, Nintendo. They're able to then put like a parentheses 2024 on it, and it becomes more of like a... Nintendo loves putting out iterative hardware.
What do they do when we get to 2064?
I mean,
Nintendo 64?
What I mean by that is, like, it's like the product is called a Nintendo, and then the differentiator is like less. It's kind of like how iPads are, where it's like it's just the iPad. But like, if you need to know the information, you can say, oh, fifth gen, seventh gen, whatever the fuck it is. But like, nowadays, Apple even just markets it as 2017, 2020, whatever. I can see Nintendo doing that. And again, the year doesn't matter to the layperson. It's just the Nintendo. But Nintendo also are the least contemporary when it comes to tech like that and naming schemes. So like, in a lot of ways that feels antithetical to who they are. But I feel like when you look at their product line, that actually does function with how they tend to do business.
Okay. Fair enough. Let's switch gears.
We're leaving the station.
Let's step off the speculation station. And this might be a little bit more speculation with story number two. It looks like, is the sound ever going to stop?
I'm sorry. I don't know why it got stuck. I had it to only do three times, and then it was supposed to stop. It just didn't. That's weird.
Story number two. It looks like we have a PS5 Slim release date. This is Wesley Yenpool at IGN. The reliable leaker behind early PlayStation Plus lineup reveals has reported a PlayStation 5 Slim release date for the U.S., as well as what appears to be its first bundle. Bill Kuhn, reporting on French website Deal Labs, said the PS5 Slim Standard Edition bundle with Insomniac's Spider-Man 2 launches in the U.S. on November 8th, priced $560. That's the same price as the current Standard Edition PS5 with Spider-Man 2. Bill Kuhn also mentioned a release date of November 10th for the standard and digital versions of the PS5 Slim in the U.S., so perhaps there will be a staggered release throughout that week, with the bundle going live ahead of the new console's standalone launch. The smaller PS5 design comes with 1TB storage for the PS5 and PS5 Digital Edition, up from 825GB in the original versions of the console, and the new model provides the option to add an Ultra HD Blu-ray disc drive to the PS5 Digital Edition. Now, technically, this is speculation station because it's not confirmed, but it's Bill Kuhn, and I believe Bill Kuhn with all my heart.
Absolutely.
Anything Bill Kuhn says goes.
Exactly. There is a weird thing. We're still here.
Oh, God, we're still here.
It is weird, though, that there's the discrepancy in dates between the bundle with Spider-Man and the normal one, where the normal one comes out 2 days later. Something about that seems to me like this is more of a mistake somewhere. Like, I think it's going to be one or the other. I find it really hard to believe they're going to separate it like that, because that's just weird when it comes to like shipping and just distribution of product. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I think that regardless, it's going to be in that area.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I don't think I've gotten to talk to you about the PS5 Slim at all. What do you think about it? Like, do you like the look of it?
I know that you hate the look of it.
I hate the disc version specifically.
I don't think that it's that... Like, I don't think it's an atrocity. Like, I also honestly don't think it's that much different even than what we have. And remember, I'm of the mind that I think the PS5... Like, the people that think the PS5 is the best-looking console of all time, or even the best-looking PlayStation console, are fucking just... off the rocker. All right. Mm-hmm. It is. That's wild. Absolutely wild behavior.
It's futuristic.
But I also like, I appreciate it for what it is. Color scheme wise, I love it. This new one, I don't like the half matte, half glossy. Not a fan of that. Mm-hmm. The DualSense controllers also go that route, and it's just not my favorite thing. I usually don't like gloss. I'm a matte guy. But otherwise, like, I'm happy that it's smaller because the PS5 is a goddamn chunker.
Yeah.
And so any advancements that way, I'm excited about. And yeah, the bigger storage and all that shit, all that stuff's good. Not mad at this at all. I think overall, it's a good product and it makes sense. I am not going to get one.
Yeah, that's the thing is, like, I could see myself eventually getting there because I am down for the digital edition, right? Like, when I think it does look... See, better is not the right word because I do think, like, if I'm, like, rating how they look, like, they're both the same between the OG PS5 now and the new ones. Like, the only thing I don't like about the disc version is because it's smaller, the disc drive now feels a bit more bulkier on its side. So it looks like, it just looks weird to me.
Is your PS5 vertical, though?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. See, mine's horizontal. And, like, so the one without that big fat ass,
yeah,
it looks kind of empty. Like, I feel like when it's horizontal, it looks a lot better and, like, foundational when it has the disc drive. And also, I just want the option of disc drive. Even though we talked about this recently, like, real talk, I have never once used a disc on a PS5.
That's why I've always been a disc, like, a physical person, right? Mm-hmm. Like, in terms of the kind of console I buy, I want there to be a disc drive. And before I started working at Kinda Funny, like, I was buying a lot of physical games, mainly because Best Buy had a
Gamer
deal.
Upgrade program,
yeah,
right?
Like the Gamer Upgrade program, or Gamer no, Best Lock. Buy Gamers Club?
Gamers Club,
yeah, what it was. Gamers Club program. They stopped doing that after a while.
Yeah.
And so, like, after that, I became more of a digital person. And now, especially, like, I do not recall the last time I put a physical disc in my PS5.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think it must have been me playing a PS4 game that I had on disc.
And I do want to say, because I've seen a lot of people comment like that, like, oh, Tim doesn't buy games, doesn't buy physical games. I do buy physical games. I collect them. I care about that stuff a lot.
Yeah.
I just haven't actually used one of the discs on my PlayStation.
Here's the thing. And this is my fault. I'm going to preface this with, this is my fault.
Mm-hmm.
But last night, craving Mario Wonder. I'm like, dude, I want to play this fucking game. And what I remembered was that I only got maybe a bit past halfway through New Super Mario Brothers U.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, let me just pick up Mario Brothers U and play the rest, since I'm, like, you know, wanting it so bad. And so I go into my Switch, I go into my library, and I can't find Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe for Switch. And I'm like, why can't I find this? And then I remembered that I got it physical. Like, I bought it physical.
Yeah.
And then I remembered that I had gifted it to my nephew.
Mm.
When I gifted him my older Switch, I gave him New Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe. And so... I just couldn't play the game. I could buy it for $60, but I'm like, I'm not about to do that if I'm about to get Mario Wonder into
it. Dude, it sucks. I mean, let me tell you this. The most first world thing that I've ever done is I bought Smash Brothers Ultimate physical because obviously I'm going to do that. I want that game. There's been enough times where I've brought in my Switch to people's houses, like for parties and stuff, or rooftops, maybe, perhaps. NBA, or not NBA courts, basketball courts on the streets to play Smash Brothers. And I haven't had the physical cart. Because I just don't think about it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, so I bought Smash again, digitally.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's great investment for me.
Yeah, and, like, that's my thing is, I feel like I have made, the more and more I've dealt with the, like, obstacles of physical media, the more and more I'm like, I should just go all digital. Because, like, I same thing with Smash, where, like, you know, actually I lost Smash when I lost my OG Switch. Oh. And so, like, I bought it digital, and guess what? Like, I never have to worry about that again. Mm-hmm. I just have Smash now. Why, like, let's just all go digital. If you have the capability, understanding and all that stuff. But, like, it's the better route. Let's be real. Let's be real.
You know? I'm of two minds. I don't ever want physical to die.
Mm-hmm.
But I also use digital for everything.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. Story number three, speaking of PlayStation. PlayStation has patented a controller that stores and charges wireless earbuds. This is Tom Ivan at VGC. Sony Interactive Entertainment has patented a console controller that houses and charges wireless earbuds. According to a patent filed by the company last week, which has been spotted by GameRant, the company is exploring giving a new controller the ability to store, charge, and pair in-ear headphones. The patent includes images showing that the earbuds could potentially be stored in several different positions on the controller, including under the touchpad, suggesting that the configuration wasn't finalized when published. The product would eliminate the need for the user to separately pair their controller and headphones to a console, as well as the need to manage separate battery life statuses to ensure that the controller, the earbuds, and the case for the earbuds are charged. Quote, the controller is designed to act both as an input device and as a headphone storage, charging, and connection case, Sony says. Using the controller as a headphone case and an earbud charger eliminates the need to manage two separate devices. This simplifies the overall user experience as the user has one less device to manage communication with the gaming device, end quote. It then adds, quote, as portability becomes more mainstream and important, the audio experience also becomes more important, end quote. Tim, as the tech person in my life, how do you like this? How does this strike you?
I'm very stoked about this.
Oh, okay.
Not because of this product, but more because PlayStation are trying to take the audio side of things very seriously. And their recent acquisition of Odyssey gets me so excited. Their announcement of this whole PlayStation Link stuff they have going on with the Portal and the new earbuds and the new Pulse Elite headset, I think it's called. I'm really excited about it. I'm not a fan of proprietary stuff, so like I'm a little like concerned on that front. Like the fact that the PlayStation Portal can't connect to like Bluetooth headphones, I think is like
insane
and not good. Not, it's bad. It's just straight up bad because it shouldn't be in place of that option. It should be in addition to, but I do like that they are building the standard that they're sticking to because their lossless technology in theory should be fantastic and should be like a audiophile level experience for people that are using the right products. And right now it's early, but if they commit to this, which we've seen them before not commit to things, this could be amazing for gamers all around, where their experience will just be risen because of the baseline just being so much higher quality. And their commitment to these earbuds and the headset, both having the link capabilities and working with all the stuff, I feel like is a great sign, specifically because Odyssey has such an amazing past with not just gaming headsets. Like, they are the best gaming headsets out there, period. There's not even a question. They're all priced accordingly as well. But even on the lower end, they're relative priced products compete with the best of any other gaming headset. You take that out of the gaming headset world just to headphones, they're just some of the best headphones out there for any use case. So all of this is really exciting. I just want a goddamn release date, Bless. When are we getting these things? We have a Portal release date. We still don't know about this other hardware.
I'm surprised these aren't coming out with Portal.
It's very bizarre because theoretically, the Portal's going to come out and you're not going to be able to use headphones with it. I guess it might have a 3.5.
Yeah, it must have a 3.5. Yeah. Yeah, because it's like a dual, I mean, it's basically a dual sense with the screen attached.
So that's kind of weird to me. But you line this all up also with the new PS5 Slim.
Yeah.
And
I guess
a lot of hardware coming
out. Well, it depends on how you're using the Portal, but I imagine that if you have the PlayStation Pulse headset or a headset that is just connected to your PS5, if you're at home, you can probably just put on that headset and then play on your Portal because it's remote play. So it's turning on your PS5 anyway at home. And all the stuff's happening on your PS5. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
That said, like, if you're, let's say your PS5 is in your bedroom and you're in your living room, you might lose connection between your headset and your PS5, so that's not a great solution. But it's an option. Like, if you're just,
Theoretically, you're right. There is a use case where you could, if you're in the same room as your PS5,
But like, that's
a weird ass workaround.
That's not a great
whatever.
Workaround.
We'll see this all in a couple of weeks how it all actually shakes out. But the idea that this controller can charge the things, it's cool. I like that they're thinking about this. I'm always a fan of when new controllers are announced. And my problem with this would be it's not going to be an Edge. And I fucking love the Edge.
Here's my, Kevin, can you bring up the image, like the patent image? That's just the mock-up. Because my question here is, how much free space is in my controller?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Like, how are we stacking these things?
Also,
what the fuck is going
maybe
on?
Maybe fit bigger batteries in there, you know?
Yeah, right?
That would be nice.
That would be, like, I would much prefer bigger batteries for the controller as opposed to me putting my earbuds in my controller to store them and charge them. Really cool idea. But let's start, there's some priorities. We got to get straight here.
Yeah. It's definitely interesting. And, like, something tells me, like, that, I mean, look, even that drawing, it's not, like,
it's not scaled, scale.
Because it looked a little, like
it doesn't even look like a PS5.
Like, condensed, right? I imagine that this controller would be even bigger. Because, not only... is it wild to believe that earphones can fit, earbuds can fit into a DualSense? Because it's like, what? That doesn't make any sense. But it's not even just like AirPods. Like, these are bigger. Like, they have all the fancy tech stuff. So it's like they're kind of big, chunky earbuds. So, like, it's going to need some space there.
Damn. Well, You want to find space for you? I didn't know where I was going.
Yeah. But real quick, I want to say, staying on the DualSense Edge. I know I've been talking a lot about it recently. I love this controller. Battery life is the biggest problem for sure. Mm-hmm. But I've been like trying so many controllers for Switch, for everything. I'm at the point now that I have completely 100% moved over to the DualSense Edge.
Hell yeah. Love that for you. Spider-Man 2?
Oh, well, PlayStation, I've always been doing it. For my Xbox and Switch usage. I played Mario Wonder on the DualSense Edge. And it was awesome. You buy a little 8-bit dough Bluetooth adapter. It's about $15. Plug it into the USB. It just works. It's awesome. And it doesn't have HD rumble, but the haptic rumble of the DualSense is so good that I did a test back and forth between the Pro Controller and DualSense. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going DualSense, baby.
DualSense Edge is so good. Then, yeah, now I come into work. I use my DualSense Edge at home. Come into work, and if I'm playing a game on my desk on my regular DualSense, it doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
I'm like, get this cheap piece of crap out of here. Give me my DualSense Edge, a real controller.
Yep.
If you want some real content, you can go over to patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over there, we got cool content like Kind of Feudy, like the Next Gen Podcast, and more. But also, you can go there to get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Do you ever feel like your brain is getting in its own way? I can't even count the amount of nights I lose sleep just because I can't stop thinking and my brain just won't stop talking. It turns out one great way to make those racing thoughts go away is to talk through them. Therapy gives you a great place to do that so you can get out of your negative thought cycles and find some mental and emotional peace. And it can give you the tools to find more balance in your life so you can keep supporting others without leaving yourself behind. Some of my best friends use BetterHelp and love how helpful it can be for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, and it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapist anytime for no additional charge. You can make your brain your friend with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/kindoffunny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/kindoffunny. BetterHelp.com/kindoffunny. This episode is brought to you by Immersion Fragrances, where gaming meets the world of scented candles. Immersion Fragrances is your destination for gaming-inspired scented candles, each one meticulously crafted to transport you into the worlds of your favorite video games and tabletop adventures. And most importantly, this company is ran by a kind of funny best friend. For a short while, customers can enjoy a 10% discount site-wide. Yes, 10% off every gaming-inspired scented candle they offer. And that's not all. They're sweetening the deal with free shipping on every order. But here's the real kicker. For every 3 candles purchased, Immersion Fragrances is throwing in a free mystery candle. Imagine the excitement of unwrapping a mystery candle with a unique scent, just like opening a loot box in your favorite game. Each candle is a work of art inspired by the immersive worlds of gaming and tabletop adventures. Don't miss out on this unbeatable offer. Head over to immersionfragrances.com right now and fill your cart with the enchanting scents of your favorite worlds. Remember, you'll get 10% off free shipping and a free mystery candle for every 3 that you buy. That's immersionfragrances.com. The fragrant journey begins here.
And we're back with story number 4. Spider-Man 2 developer Insomniac confirms new Game Plus release window. This is Wesley Yenpool at IGN. Spider-Man 2 developer Insomniac has said a new Game Plus mode should be added to the hotly anticipated PS5 exclusive by the end of 2023. Fans have wondered about the status of new Game Plus, given its popularity in previous titles. It lets players replay the campaign in an overpowered state, bringing with them all the abilities unlocked from the prior playthrough. Responding to questions on Twitter, Insomniac Community and Marketing Director James Stevenson confirmed New Game Plus would be coming after launch in an update that should arrive by the end of 2023. Also skipping launch is a mission replay feature, Stevenson said. I could have used that mission replay feature for the Platinum, let me tell you.
100%, 100%. Yeah, oh, man, this is weird for me, man. I keep saying in the last couple big games that have come out with the new Game Plus stuff, like, I feel like it should be a feature at launch. Like, yeah. I feel like it's really, really kind of core of, like, and you know, I know that we're talking about a small amount of people. I guess, I don't even know. I would argue that the most people want to do a new Game Plus is right after they first beat it when it first comes out. You know what I mean?
I get that. I think there's a certain amount of people. Like, for me, when I think of what I would use new Game Plus for, I guess I'll think, like, okay, I beat the game, I come back a year later because I get the craving again, and I just do New Game Plus. Like, that's the use case in my head.
And for sure, that's true, too. But, like, it coming out at launch, doesn't get in the way of that.
Yeah,
you know what
no,
I mean?
For sure.
It's like, you know, should they delay the game to make up for this? No. Am I happy that New Game Plus isn't there and that's not part of the Platinum Trophy? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It's weird to me because I feel like a lot of games, like when they have New Game Plus, like a lot of the big PlayStation Studios games, when they end, I just want to keep playing. Mm-hmm. You know,
For Spider-Man especially, because Spider-Man 2, once you 100% that game, and I get, you know, as it should be, right? This isn't necessarily a complaint, but there's not much to do.
Yeah.
Right? It is like, okay, I'm going to go around and just do the random crimes, right? But like, you don't have repeatable activities. Like, there are a few things here and there that you could repeat, but it becomes way less of a like engaging experience after you finish everything. And so a New Game Plus just doubles the content, right? Like, it lets you go back and experience it in a new way, in an overpowered way that extends that playtime, as you're talking about.
And again, this is not a critique, not an issue. This is fine. It's going to come at some point, and that's great. Cool. Mission replay stuff, all that stuff's cool. I just really wish that hardware and software could line up better. And this is across the board, PlayStation, Nintendo, Xbox, everybody, where it almost always feels like when we're doing predictions and stuff, we're like, oh, and then this game's going to launch with this console. Or like, they're putting out this new controller, it's going to come out with this. And it's like, nah, the DualSense Edge came out months after God of War Ragnarok did.
Yeah.
That's weird. The PlayStation Portal's going to come out a month after Spider-Man 2. And by the time it does come out, I doubt New Game Plus will be ready then.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like weird things where I'm like, to me, that's the perfect use case. Like a New Game Plus of Spider-Man 2 with the Portal? Hell yeah, baby. Let's go.
God, yeah. I think it's just, it's just a thing of video games being kind of unwieldy and big. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, it's tough to move and shift games compared to like maybe even TV and movies because of how much work and like how long it takes to get something out. And like, yeah, like to line up a New Game Plus and a DualSense PlayStation Portal, and like make sure we're hitting it before Black Friday, and like make sure we're hitting the cadence that keeps our fans happy. I'm sure they're juggling like a billion things at the same time. But I'm with you though, that like that would have been such a perfect storm.
And like, again, this is just dream world, and for a game that we just fucking love and just want to play more, I beat the game and then I had a whole bunch of tasks left for the platinum.
Yeah.
That I ended up having to just do a bunch of random crimes and stuff until I nailed them all out. And that probably added, I don't know, 3 to 5 hours total of gameplay for me to do all that.
Mm-hmm.
If I could New Game Plus, I would have just done it just because I would have wanted to see the story beats again, wanted to see the set pieces again, to then kind of more naturally get all the things ticked off that I did in my first playthrough. And so yeah, I just think it's a testament to the quality of this game that like I legitimately would have started it up from the beginning again, right when it finished.
Hell yeah. Final news story. Story number 5. A dog will become the first ever canine speedrunner
at
Awesome Games Done Quick 2024.
What a weird headline when you think about it. A dog will become the first ever canine speedrunner.
See,
can you just say first canine speedrunner?
Or first animal speedrunner? Like I thought the exact same thing too. I'm like, well, of course it's a canine, right?
So yeah.
Like, yeah, but a dog will be the first. I could say this whenever, and it'll probably be true.
Yeah.
Could have been a wolf.
You're right. Could have been a wolf. But I digress. I wonder, well, maybe there has been another animal. Maybe that's why they couldn't say it that way.
I feel like we've had a monkey. Canine.
I don't even know that a wolf, like, I think that's actually a different, that isn't, it's not a canine, right? That's Lupin something.
Are we thinking of a fox? Would a fox be a canine? Roger's dying in the background.
We gotta do some Googling.
How cool is it that cop dogs are the canines? Come on.
So cool.
It is pretty neat. But also, you know, like ACAB, including the canines.
Including them,
including
dude.
The canines. I'm sorry. You've been a bad boy. Prepare for a gaming event like no other, as a four-legged contender is all set to death. To dash into the spotlight at Awesome Games Done Quick 2024, making history as the first dog to complete a speedrun in a video game for the popular event. Again, this makes me think that there's been another animal.
Yeah.
That is
I feel like there's been a monkey. I remember a monkey playing Tetris.
That would be really cool. Kevin, can you find a, find a video?
I will look for it, but I just wanted to let you guys know wolf, coyotes, and dogs are all in the genus Canis. So
okay.
Any of those could be the first canines.
Gotcha. So not a fox.
Run. Not a fox.
Damn. In a post on the social media platform X, formerly known as Twitter, runner at JSR2Gamers posted an announcement video teasing his dog Peanut Butter and the milestone he is set to embark on the next on next year. This is not the first time Peanut Butter has speedrun a game. 3 months ago, his owner uploaded a video game of the good boy speedrunning the NES game Gyromite, which PB, that's short for Peanut Butter, completed in 25 minutes and 29 seconds. God dang.
That's Fucking awesome. That's that was sick. One of the Rob games.
Really?
The games that came with Little Rob the Robot?
Now Peanut Butter does not Now, Peanut Butter does not have any thumbs, making it difficult to hold a controller. Yet his owner can have the dog play a game thanks to a custom controller built by JSR underscore. The controller is mapped to four separate buttons, A, B, both buttons, and the select button, according to JSR underscore's YouTube description.
God,
look how cute that dog
is. This
is
awesome. Good for Peanut Butter. Good for everyone involved. Good for us.
Good for
humanity. Good for canines.
I'm always such a fan of weird ways of playing video games or doing things like this, because I feel like it all started off with people beating people beating Dark Souls with a Guitar Hero controller. I feel like that was kind of like when that stuff started to become more popular on like Twitch and streaming and stuff, and people would all go crazy over this stuff. But then it evolved into like so many other things, where this last Evo, what we had, like somebody playing with a modded Xbox 360 that they converted into a fight stick. Like, that was one that was cool. Of course, like, we had like a lot of like moves in accessibility where people would play with blindfolds, or you would just have blind gamers competing in things like Evo and actually like putting up a fight and really like going in. That stuff became cool. And like, yeah, having a Shiba Inu come through and
crush it,
participate in AGDQ, absolutely wild.
John Dow in the chat said, it does seem, though, it's a little less the dog playing a game and more a person playing a game via a dog.
But like,
which is very funny to think about.
Here's what...
Because he's not wrong. He's telling him what to do.
Here's what I want to bring to the table. I was hanging out with a friend. She's a lawyer, this last weekend. And we were talking about how AI... Like, there's come a lot of, like, legal difficulties, let's say, with AI in terms of copywriting actual AI art, because in law, right, like, you can only copyright things that are made by humans. And she referenced this example of a monkey that took, or maybe a chimpanzee, an ape that took a selfie with a camera, and the organization behind it wanted to copyright it, but they couldn't because the picture was taken by the monkey. And like, only human-made things can be copyrighted. And so I say that all to say, like, can this count as a speedrun?
I don't know, man. I think we got to get to the... Like, we got to talk to the authorities about this.
Is the dog not the controller?
One. Yeah, that's...
You think about it. Think about it.
Think about it, everybody.
Why you do that?
Maybe I got to give up my DualSense Edge. Maybe I should go all dog. You know what I mean?
Go for it.
I haven't trusted Moose enough. You know, let's see what he could do. Maybe I'll be Spider-Man 2 via Moose.
I mean, honestly, you'd go viral for it. I feel like that would be the next step.
It won't work. It won't work.
New audience.
He is an idiot.
Tim, I'm so excited for the Moose speedrun of Spider-Man 2. But us getting that content is so far away. If I want to know what's coming out to Mom and Grab Shops today, where'd I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday. Came in so early, I love it.
Out today, we got Endless Dungeon for PS5, Xbox Series X, PS4, Switch, and PC. Galactic Civilizations 4, Supernova for PC. I had a...
Yeah, you're the Roman numeral. You're like,
So I was like, it's either 4 or 6, and I got to really like think about this. Gangs of Sherwood for PS5, Xbox Series X, and PC. Gargoyles Remastered for Xbox Series X, PS4, Switch, and PC. Hot Wheels Unleashed 2 Turbocharged for PS5, Xbox Series X, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Overpass 2 for PS5, Xbox Series X, and PC. The Seventh Guest VR for PSVR 2, Quest, and PC. The Gap for PS5, Xbox Series X, and PC. The Jackbox Party Pack 10 for PS5, Xbox Series X. Good on them for making
Good
it to number
them.
10. Oh, and that's also on PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. And then World of Horror for PS5, PS4, Switch, PC. Operation Valor for PC, and then Forgive Me Father 2 Early Access is out today for PC. New days for you. Salt and Sacrifice comes to Steam and Switch on November 7th. And then Not for Broadcasts, new DLC, Bits of Your Life, airs on PS4 and PS5, Xbox, PC on November 14th. We got one deal of the day for you. The Evil Within 2 and Tandem, A Tale of Shadows will be free to claim on the Epic Game Store from October 26th until November 2nd. Tim, now it's time for reader mail.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you write in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD to get your questions read on the show, just like Marco Hutchins did. Marco writes in and says, hey dudes, there's been a lot of talk about the best year in video games history, but what about the best release day? I haven't played either game yet, but I have a feeling Super Spider-Man Wonder Day is going to be my favorite that I can remember. Off the top of my head, I would also nominate Animal Crossing and Doom Eternal, Mario Odyssey, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and Wolfenstein 2. I think they mean Assassin's Creed Origins. And then Metroid Prime and Metroid Fusion as other contenders.
Thank you for saying that. That was the one on my mind.
Are there any other days that you guys would nominate? Hope you all have a great weekend. Marco Hutchins.
No, for me, it's definitely it was Metroid Day. I mean, come on, dude. First Metroids we're getting since Super Metroid, and we're getting two of them. One 2D, one 3D, and it was Metroid Prime and Metroid Fusion. Get out of here, man. What an incredible... Can you imagine today
if they were just like, played both those games?
Yeah.
That's insane.
They came out on the same freaking day, and again, first iteration in the Metroid franchise in over a decade at that point.
Hell yeah.
In around a decade at that point. Freaking nuts. So yeah, that's where my vote goes. But I will say that Mario Odyssey, Assassin's Creed Odyssey or Origins, and Wolfenstein 2, fantastic.
I think that would be mine.
Oh yeah, like, really?
I mean, I love Mario Odyssey so much. We both love Mario Odyssey, obviously. But then also Wolfenstein 2, insane video.
It's so good.
Like,
yeah.
Came out of nowhere for me, right? Like, I had heard people talk about the Wolfenstein, the New Order, and like, you know, like, I'd be like, okay, cool, yeah, that sounds awesome. It sounds like a first-person shooter or whatever, but I never took it that seriously. When I played Wolfenstein 2, my mind was blown. It is an incredible video game.
Yeah,
like, one really of the coolest story games I probably ever played.
For sure. Yeah, these are all good days. Animal Crossing Doom Eternal, not my day. So yeah. That's an easy one to pass on. But, I mean, dude, Super Mario Wonder, having played both, Super Mario Wonder and Spider-Man 2, this day is going to go down in history, and I do think that it is. It's up there.
Is it cheating to include like
launch days,
launch titles? Because I think about PS5,
uh-huh,
Miles Morales, Astro's Playroom,
yeah,
Demon's Souls,
mm-hmm,
the Pathless for me was one that I really liked that came out that day too.
Yeah,
like that was a really strong launch day, and I'm sure Nintendo's probably had some too. I guess like Switch release, right? Because when did Mario Kart 8 Deluxe come out?
Was later.
Okay, well I won't count that then. Well, Zelda.
Well, that was just Breath of the Wild, though.
But also Snipper Clips.
Yeah, which is great, which is fantastic. I mean, but I feel like it is rare that we get these days that are like that legendary. I mean, obviously that launch was great, but yeah, even going back, I mean, even looking at the GameCube launch, it's like there couldn't. Smash Melee was later. It was 2 weeks later.
That's the thing is, like, when I think about launch libraries or like launch day titles, a lot of them aren't as bangers as I thought they would be. You know, like, I feel like a lot of the time you're only getting one real good banger. Like, PS5 was actually a exceptionally good launch day. But, like, even Nintendo 64, Mario 64, mm-hmm, one of the greatest launch games ever. But, Pilot Wings. And then Pilot Wings.
Yeah.
You know, like, again, I just hate towards Pilot Wings, but it's not up there.
No, totally.
Yeah. All right, figured it out.
We figured it out. We solved it, everybody.
We do have a second question written in by Kebabs, a.k.a. Cal, who writes in and says, "What's up, KOGD crew? Now that Tim has reviewed and completed both Spider-Man 2 and Super Mario Bros. Wonder, it's time to ask the question. Which red and blue hero will be seen as the better game and or have the biggest impact upon launch? Is there room for both in the mindshare of gamers? Thanks and keep being awesome, Kebabs."
Well, Kebabs, I think the answer has got to be Spider-Man, right?
Mm.
We already saw 4 out of 5 on this Mario thing. Not that cool. You know what I mean?
Like Metacritic, I think Mario's higher technically than Spider-Man.
Was. I mean, you think it's because a bunch of jabronis gave 4 out of 5 to Spider-Man? Or, you know, not
who would
a
do
pick?
That?
Yeah, who would do that kind of thing? Speaking of which, we're, of course, you know, doing the spoiler cast with Brian Intihar from Insomniac and stuff. And he's over there, and we're planning lunch. And Blessing, you wrote down you wanted whatever you wanted and Starry. What the fuck's Starry? I don't know what that is.
It's what they changed the name of Sierra Mist to.
That's so fucking funny.
Did you know this?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I only learned this very recently.
Yeah, it's weird.
Because I would see it, I'm like, what the fuck is a Starry? And I learned that it's Sierra Mist, and I'm like, why are we doing this?
Very, very bizarre. I do not like it. Back to your question. I think that we're all winners here. I think that this is one of those examples of there's not a winner of the day, except for the gamers out there, because we have two utterly fantastic video games that I just think are going to be so special. And if you have any interest in video games, both of these are going to be, these are easy games I can recommend to literally anybody. And I think that they both did fantastic, fantastic jobs being video games and being iterations in the franchises, pushing things forward in very different ways. One, literally, I don't think I've played a game that is more AAA than Spider-Man 2. play Mario Wonder. It's very rare I've played a Nintendo game as Nintendo as it. So they did the
cowardly answer. I appreciate it.
Yeah. I mean, well, I mean, I if I had to give a personal thing, I think Spider-Man 2 is a better video game.
There you go. Damn, you heard it here first.
Yeah. But
Tim hates Mario.
I fucking hate him, dude. Yeah. He's so stupid.
But obviously, like obviously there's room for both in the mind share of gamers, right? Like they're exclusives to different platforms. They're different genres. Also, it's Spider-Man and Mario. Two of the most popular men in everything.
Two of my favorite men.
These two men mean so much to me in my life.
Exactly. So it's like, to me, it's like, yeah, this day is awesome. And I have not 100% in Mario yet. And I can't stop thinking about it.
Bless. Yeah.
Like, I can't wait for this weekend to keep playing more and can't wait to see. Like, there's a ton of stuff that I don't even know. There's secret exits I haven't found. Things like that. I'm like, cool. Here, I can't wait to find them.
Like, when I go through the question, right, is there room in the mindshare for both for gamers? Of course, yes. Which red and blue hero will be seen as the better game? I think that's apples and oranges, right? Like, I don't think people are going to be comparing them directly like that. But I do like the part of which is going to have the biggest impact upon launch. Because I think that is, like, a more tangible question that does, like, I think that's something we can get into. Because, like, when I think of Spider-Man's impact, right, like I feel like so much of that has already been felt through Spider-Man 1, you know, like that's why I like it's this, in the same way that I look at like a Breath of the Wild versus a Tears of the Kingdom of like, all right, like Tears of the Kingdom, better game than Breath of the Wild, but Breath of the Wild had the bigger impact because it was the one that introduced like a lot of those elements and a lot of those systems, all that stuff. I kind of feel the same way about Spider-Man 2, where Spider-Man remastered, or not remastered, sorry, Spider-Man 2018 for PS4, at least for me, right, I'll look at it as having the biggest impact of a Spider-Man game because it was Insomniac's first one that really like led us into this universe and set the tone for what that kind of superhero game could be. And Spider-Man 2 is a better version of that. But I don't necessarily look at Spider-Man 2 and go, so many people are going to take lessons from this game, right? Like maybe lessons could be, hey, wingsuits are awesome. Like,
no, use the tech. I think that's the thing. Use the SSD. Use the haptics. Go all out. Like, make this a next-gen experience. But, like, other teams don't have the budget. They don't have the time. They might not have the talent. They don't have a lot of things. I feel like that's the complication there, is that Spider-Man 2 is an accomplishment that could only happen in a very, very specific world. Mm-hmm. And that is a world that Insomniac has created, PlayStation Studios has created. Like, they're just in a league of their own because of that.
Yeah. And I would love, like, I mean, reading reviews and hearing you talk about Mario Brothers Wonder, I'd love for 2D platformers to take inspiration from Mario and like Mario Wonder, but also like 2D platformers are few and far between now, that I also don't expect that to, like,
I mean, I can't wait for the conversation a couple months from now about Mario Wonder. It's going to be very interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
See, for me, when I think about what is the most impactful game this year, I think it goes to Baldur's Gate 3. Like, I think when 5 years from now, when we're looking back at 2023 as a year and we're talking about what game had the biggest impact, I think Baldur's Gate 3 being what it is as an RPG and really leaning into, no, as a video game, you can have all the role-playing mechanics. You can make this feel like your own story. You can, like, have, like, a lot of quality and writing and have, really, really lean into the RPG-ass elements in a way that, like, makes this world feel super deep but also super wide at the same time. I look at Baldur's Gate 3 as maybe the game that's going to have the biggest impact this year, followed by, like, I guess everything else, right? Like, maybe Tears of the Kingdom and Street Fighter 6 also for fighting games.
Yeah, when you're talking about impact, though, I totally agree with you. I feel like an apt comparison would be Baldur's Gate 3 is going to do for that style of RPG what Halo did for first-person shooters on consoles, where before that point, there were some, GoldenEye and things like that, but really first-person shooters were a PC-based thing. Same thing here with Baldur's Gate, right, with that genre of RPG. Very PC.
Yeah.
I think the floodgates are now open.
I think Baldur's Gate 3 ends up influencing even like the console RPGs, right? Like,
yeah,
I would love, yeah, like I would think like the next Bethesda, what's the Mass Effect developer? BioWare, like, I think the next, like, CD Projekt Red, the next games from them, I think are gonna have to look at Baldur's Gate 3 and go, all right, what are the things that this game is doing that is making everybody fall in love with this thing? So I think like having that type of reach and having that type of like impact versus a lot of other games we're getting this year, which are, I would say, like the peak versions of things that we've gotten before, right? Like, I think that's where I'm feeling it more. Spider-Man 2 and Mario Wonder, I'm very much looking forward to as more polished versions of things that I've already loved before. Like, that's why, and that's the thing that makes me antsy to play Mario Wonder, is the fact that I love Mario, right? Like, Mario 3 is one of my favorite games ever. Mario 64 is one of my favorite games ever, right? Like, Mario Odyssey, I have such a reverence for. Mario Wonder, I just want it to make me feel that feeling again. I'm not looking for it to, like, have, like, the biggest impact of the year, the biggest conversation, whatever. And, like, for me, it was the same thing with Spider-Man 2. And so, yeah, I'm curious to see, like, yeah, 5 years from now, how are we talking about all these games? How are we talking about Mario Wonder? You know, like, when we get, fingers crossed, a new 3D Mario in the next 1 or 2 years, you know, is Mario Wonder still in the mind?
Yeah, I think it will be. Again, having played it, I think that there are going to be a lot of people that Mario Wonder is all-timer for them.
Yeah.
Like, for sure.
Let's go. We got a quick squad up for you. This is from the old man, Alan, who writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can. It says, Season 10 of Sea of Thieves is out today, and with the new season comes the launch of guilds. I am setting up the official, unofficial Kind of Funny Best Friends Guild and have 20 slots to fill. You can join in if you sail solo with your own crew or want to play with other trogs. Add me on Xbox, the old man Alan. The O in old is a zero. So it's the old man Alan spelt with a zero. Go play some Sea of Thieves, Xbox, PC. Now it's time for your wrong. Rewrite in, let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong so we can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe. Nano says, Bless was right. Greg hated Web of Shadows, gave it a 5.3 on IGN. Nano says, a fish played Pokemon on Twitch. Was that for Awesome Games Done Quick, though? My question. Nano says, the monkey played Tetris as part of a knowledge test and for Neuralink.
I knew I saw it.
Nano says Sierra Mist changed to Starry because of low market share, needing to rebrand, and a content creator who had a very similar name becoming more famous when the Sierra Mist trademark was about to expire.
There's a streamer out there named Sierra.
Sierra Mist?
Yo, follow me twitch.tv/Sierra Mist.
Sierra Mist sounds like.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. And then Mikey.
You guys are idiots. I love it.
And then Mikey O says Starry-O is a different recipe in that it uses corn syrup instead of cane sugar, which is what Sierra Mist used. So technically, it's not just a rebrand, Bless said. It's an entire replacement soda for Sierra Mist. All right, cool. That's it for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tomorrow's hosts for the show are going to be Tim and special guest, me.
That's right. Wow.
Him and me, we're back at it like a bad habit.
Real quick, before we leave, can I show you my new speculation station button?
Oh, yeah. Go for it. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I think what we're missing, like, I think we need, like, maybe Roger can get on this, a train that fucking barrels through the background. I think that's what we're missing.
Well, that's a hype train. You know?
Yeah, that is a hype train. But we'll figure that out by next time. Of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday live right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. Until next time, Game Daily.